against the king, gone against the crown. Said, oh no, you've done it now. Time to feel the fire. Rumors spreading around. How could you think he would stay down? Said, rumors spreading around. Nothing but a liar.
There was music playing.
Okay, but there was no speaking. Okay, well, anyway, thank you for that. I did kind of start the intro earlier, but there is, yeah, anyway. All right, we got it. So, Yami, if you would like to pray for the line, pray away any interference, pray over the line, that would be great.
So shall we be saved from our enemy because Yah reigns. And I woke up this morning with Yeshua on my mind. Hallelujah. I am overwhelmed with his love towards me and towards us all. For he created us to be his family, and he has purpose. And because of the fall, this stupid enemy is trying to destroy that relationship. But you know what? Nothing can separate us from Yah's love. And I believe that I shall see the goodness of Yah in the land of the living. And I also believe that I shall see the fall of the enemy, because Yahweh is our champion. Yeshua came, and he became the perfect lamb sacrifice. And therefore, there is no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So we rebuke you, Satan, with the authority Yah has given to us. And we say flee, because we resist you. And we recognize you as the liar you are. And we will not receive the lies, but we will recognize our good shepherd, and we will graze in green pastures and still waters, and we will go forth with joy, and we will see the accomplishment of the exploit he has for each of us. And we will do that one arm at a time, recognizing that our relationship with you, Yah, can be new every morning. And as we reconsider and reestablish that bond between you and us, we choose to walk with you. Because as you lead us, your gentleness we find, and as we walk, your hand is held in ours, and we hold tight to your unchanging hand. So be it. So take over this day, and let us rule and reign in every way that we are tempted by the devil. And let us keep him under our feet where you've placed him. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. Thank you for loving us and letting us develop more and more in your likeness and be an expression of your love. Amen.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that. Yami, appreciate that. Wow. It is a beautiful day. Yah is on the throne. We are the sheep of his pasture, and that's not a bad thing. So, I am looking forward to a full day in Yah. I'm looking forward to being able to hear his voice and to follow in his paths. Because if we do it right, life should get easier. It might not always be as pleasant as we'd like it to be. I mean, the weather might get hot. It might rain outside. We might get stuck in a windstorm. Something might go wrong. Life is rough. It's not the easiest thing to get through. Be happy you weren't alive 3,000 years ago. You know, if you're going to look down on how bad you got it now, if you're going to, you guys, the doggone rough, I can't ever get anywhere. Think about what it was like trying to pull this off 3,000 years ago. I mean, we at least if we look at it the right way, we've got the strength to say, okay, that's where I came from. If this people who are called by his name can go through that to get here. If that kind of strength, if that kind of strength is ingrained into our DNA, then what are we whining for? Let's just get to it. Hallelujah. I am thankful this morning for Transformed. Thankful for Praise, Pray, Decree, and Declare. I am thankful for Kim, Greg, and Corey. I'm thankful for Rock and Sand, Marissa, Yami, Joe Z. I'm thankful for Gary. Well, I got to get that right. I am thankful that Yah woke me up this morning. I am thankful that Yah is still on the throne. And I am thankful that he has positioned me to continue to be part of his kingdom. I am thankful for an overcoming attitude. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for purpose. And I pray that a new ash, a new fire would find each of us. And that it would catch and then it would move up, and whatever that fire needs to be, that flame would be huge, that flame would be bright, so that it's impossible to place that candle under a bushel. I pray for clear direction, clear understanding, hearing. I pray for willingness to walk in righteousness, a willingness to walk as Kodesh. I pray Abba would increase my willingness and my desire and my rate of comprehension when it comes to being a student. I pray that Yah would direct and fix or send those that can work within the government that won't be subject to corruption, or that would handle accusations and shots of corruption in a proper way. I am in Yahweh, Baruch Atah, and highly favored. I am Kodesh. I am a son, brother, and friend in good standing. I am anointed. I am called. I am a Galal Talmudim. I am an overcomer. I am a Shaliach. I am an emulator. And I am Yeshua's, and he is mine. And Hasatan cannot take, shake, or break my love, my joy, my peace, my shalom, or my purpose. I am madder than hell. Righteously. By the authority of Yeshua. At Hasatan Gadriel for the games that he's played. I will have, and I am victorious over the sins that have plagued me in the past. I am cleansed. Hallelujah. Yami, if you are ready with your teaching,
hallelujah. Well, we've been looking in 1 Samuel, and now we're in the 18th chapter, and we've seen that David and Saul's son, Jonathan, were given that gift of a special relationship, a special covenant of friendship, and that was a beautiful thing between them, and they expressed love towards one another in the right way, and so that's all good. And now we're going to look at, let's start with the fifth chapter, or I mean the fifth verse of chapter 18. And David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he acted wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and it was good in the eyes of all the people, and also in the eyes of the servants of Saul. And it happened as they came in, as David returned from striking the Philistines, the women came out in all the cities of Israel to sing with the dancers, and to meet Saul, the king, with tambourines and with joy, and three-string instruments. And the women who were playing answered and said, Saul has slain thousands, but David 10,000. And it was very much burned, Saul. And this thing was evil in his eyes, and he said, they have given 10,000 to David, and to me they have given thousands, and is this more to him except the kingdom? And from that day forward, Saul was watching David. So in 10, we're told that the next day it happened, that the spirit of adversity from Elohim came on Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David was playing with his hand as he did day by day. And Saul's spear was in his hand. And Saul threw the spear and said, I will strike David even to the wall. And David twice drew back from his face, and Saul feared David because Yahweh was with him and he had departed from Saul. So we're seeing here that Saul had to experience misery because of, it goes way back to him not correctly dealing with the with Yah's people, that Saul didn't keep them in line with Yah's plan when they went to war, when they took over cities, that when they were told to not do something, they did it, and that thing was to not kill everybody when they were instructed to, but the people saved the good, the land, the neat stuff, the stuff that they thought would benefit them, and they didn't kill the king when they were told to. All this stuff added up to Saul losing the place of being the leader. And from the family of Jesse, David was the youngest, and he got anointed by Saul, or I mean by Samuel, to become the king in the future. And so all these experiences of him entering into the household of King Saul and being made bondage with Jonathan, who was to be heir if Saul would have been, he would have became king if Saul would have did things in a humble way and submitted to Yahweh. But because of that fall, of that not being able to handle keeping Yah's order, Jonathan could not become the next king, because Yah had already anointed David to be that. That at this point did not affect their relationship between David and Saul, because they were great friends and they were experiencing the wonder and the goodness of having a great friend. But on the other hand, Saul, I would call it jealousy. I'm sure there's more mature words that could be chosen or used. But he did not trust David because the people were favoring David and acknowledging how Yah was allowing him to handle things correctly. And we see also that David agreed, and he was able to do all the things that Saul directed him, or gave him dominion over, and take care of his part. But Saul sensed, my husband Dean once told, well, more than once, we would have kind of a little discussion on how he said, when we would go to AA clubs together, when we were in a disagreement, he said, "No, I'm not going." And his reason was, he said, "People are aware when you're not at peace. And I want to represent the peace that passes all understanding," he told me, that I don't want to represent or show discord when we don't agree about something. And so I would go ahead and go to those days alone. Although I know we were called to to make peace, and that would happen. And so I can see where Saul felt the anointing on David, and I can understand that and kind of resisted and not trusted, because we saw what it said, that the spirit that was sent of adversity came from Elohim on Saul. And wow, you know, that's sad, but that he was aware of it, and that's why he really was angry and not happy with David, because he sent that David had an anointing that he didn't have. So what I want to pray today is that we recognize that when we're not following Yah's rule, rules are ways to have right relationship with man and Yah, that when he's not following, when we're not following that, we could get a spirit of adversity, and we could not trust, or there would break down the trust between us and whoever. And we are called to be filled with love. And love has the attribute that would overcome the wrong things, and we could turn now because of the law of spirit and life sets us, Ruach and life sets us free from the law of sin and death. And Saul sinned, and this was from way back the reason that the spirit of adversity was allowed, was sent, was by Elohim to be upon Saul, and we don't want that, Father. We want to be correct and please you, and like David, praise you, and like the peace that came upon the women who sang and danced, and those that played instruments, and like David himself, daily bringing praise to you. We don't want to forget that part of our life and walk in adverse, to be adverse to the plans you have for us. So allow us to every morning recognize our part, and with joy, knowing that you are the solution, walk in your plan. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Yami. That was fantastic. We are going to call on Marissa right now and see if she is ready to come forward with her praise, prayers, decrees, and declares, and her Ephesians 6, the armor of Yah reading. Or at least giving her a heads up that that's what's next. We'll go to a music break, and we shall be right back. Unless she's ready.
That is the music break. I guess we get back to music.
I'm sorry, one more time.
I just holding the phone in my lap. I said it'd be good to have some music for a break for a minute. Thank you.
Okay. Yep.
This is Yahuwah's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend to the hill of Yahuwah? And who shall stand?
Hallelujah.
All right.
It was, thought that sounds like a longer, and she was, getting going. So we put an hour on in the morning, which is, children, obey your parents, and Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but nurture them in the discipline and teaching of our master. Slaves, obey your masters, according to flesh with reverence, and trembling and singleness of your heart, as to Messiah. Not with eye service as hypocrites, but as slaves of Messiah, doing the will of our master from the heart. Serving as slaves with goodwill to our master, and not as to men. Each one knowing that whatever good thing he does, this he shall receive from the master, whether he is a slave or a free man. And masters, do the same things toward them, forgiving their faults, knowing that the master of you and of them is in heaven, and there is no respecter of persons with him. For the rest, my brothers, be made powerful in our master and in the might of his strength. Put on all the armor of Yahweh for you to be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. For our conflict is not with flesh and blood, with principalities and with those in authority and with the possessors of this dark world and the evil spirits that are beneath heaven. Because of this, take up all the armor of Elohim that you may be able to resist the evil one, and being prepared you shall prevail. Then stand firm, having girded your loins about with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and defend your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. Above all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. Also put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. Through all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Ruach and watching to the same thing with all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. Pray also for me, that to me may be given speech and the opening of my mouth with boldness to make known the mystery of the good news. for which I am an ambassador in a chain, that in it I may speak boldly as it is right for me to speak, but that you also may know the things about me, what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister and our master, will make known all things to you, whom I sent to you for the same thing, that you might know the things about us, and he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from Yahweh, the Father and Master Yeshua Messiah. Be with all those that love our Master Yeshua Messiah without corruption. Amen. So I just need to clear for today as I'm waking up that getting used to the time zones. It's an hour earlier than them, which is 5:30 and then 6:30 your time. So it's starting to get brighter out. The sun isn't fully out yet, but it's getting there. So they're going to care for a good day for Yahweh to keep us going in the right direction, that he's making our crooked path straight. There's no one weapon formed against us that can prosper. And I decree and declare that we have Yahweh's guidance, that he's walking with us. Yeshua is walking with us. And I decree and declare for Yahweh's love over our nation and over all of our nations. I decree and declare that Yahweh's healing over our nations and over all of our nations. We need his work to pour out upon our nations and for the Malachim to take place and take charge over the evil works in the world. And I decree and declare that we have Yahweh's timing, and decree and declare that Malachim are setting place and they're coming out to this land here to protect it and to keep it going to where the direction that it's going to go with the building and the different plans that Rock and Sandy want to make on this land here, and for the appointed people that wants to come out here to do that work. I decree and declare that I speak life to this this land and the different lands around it, that they can become what Yahweh wants it to have. I pray that it becomes to what Yahweh wants it to have the life and to have Yahweh things in this city and Yahweh things in this land. For the workers to come through. Hallelujah. And to declare that, as I said, the other land is bigger, that Yahweh keeps that in the with any kind with plans and the right workers to go forth with what they want to make happen with the with their goals on the earth, on their land. And we're thankful that Yahweh keeps us safe through the travels. And I just want to clear that your safety and your hand to be upon our overseers, Mark and Sandy and Scott and Kim, that they are going to the right direction that you're bringing them to, as well as for Yami and for her brother and her children, Scott and Kim's children, Mark and Sandy's children, and anyone else that's on the line. And I realize this, if it's the 29th, it's my son Aiden's birthday today. So happy birthday to Aiden. We definitely have to call him today and wish him happy birthday. I didn't realize the time was going so fast. It's only the 29th. And then he's 12 today. So we had a clean and clear, yeah, raise love upon him. And then he keeps him safe, and he wakes him up with a great day today. That Aiden can be excited for his birthday. And I decree and declare that we are walking in fullness, and Yahweh's keeping us from anything that is not of him, that we can let that be known, so we can get rid of the unyali things. until our cup will overflow. And that's kind of clear for those out there struggling and stuck in their addiction or their addictive ways and alcoholics. We pray for less deaths in life, and I pray for the right workers and the right resources of buildings and different facilities or different private rehabs that, yeah, we can open up the right doors for new places and for people that need a little. Because there was a minimum of 4 weeks or 6 weeks and 8 weeks in Dane County area back in February. So who knows what that wait list is now. So I pray for those who need help, Yahweh, that you help those who are struggling, that they can have a way of getting to that place of counsel and place to get sober. That you give, that you pray for hope and a chance in their future that they can have a better outlook in their life, that are coming out of that addictive lifestyle. And I pray for those who are out there in the drug world, we pray for them who are turning from their wicked ways, that they can have a chance to be reminded on who you are and turn from their sins. And I declare that they can do that. Otherwise, that I pray for the ones who are on Yali, just to be Yali, to get the white workers in place to get the bad men off the streets and for the resources of where they're coming in from different countries and different cities. I pray for that to go well in your direction, Yahweh, that you can help set the captives free for the drug world out there, that they can get them off the streets from getting into people's hands that do not need it. And pray for the doctors out there, yeah, right, there's a lot of health care issues and that many other health stuff of pharmacia and malpractices and different issues with misdiagnosing. It is kind of clear that you can uproot any other doctors or the ones that are not in fully caring. They're just doing it because they want to make money and whatever the doctors are doing. I pray for more of health care insurance to accept the naturopathic so we can have more ways to work with our health than just MDs. And I declare clear for the transgender body modifiers. Yeah, well, you know where they are. You know who the wrong people are that are doing the wrong type of work up there. So I declare clear that you help bring those out of that. And for our government officials, Yahweh, I pray for the Yahweh ways of your Iraq to go back into the offices and to bring out your Yali workers to take place and take charge of the issues in the government. And I pray for our finances and our favor of the financial issues that you can help sort out our debts and our other things that we need to get figured out with our financial problems. And I pray for the next 39 business and the team, as well as Isante and the longevity. And I lift up those to you, Yahweh. And I pray for things to come into alignment as you're lining us up in your word. And I pray for your fruits in love, kindness, joy, faith, shalom, patience, meekness, goodness, self-control. And I pray for you, that you're helping those with mental health problems. And I pray for our families and salvation, for our family members that haven't yet received your salvation yet. And I break agreement with past sins as I am an overcomer. And for our prison ministries, we have our Father Steve Shipley and others, and the alley workers that are called to share your word in the prison, that are in prison, and as well as people coming from outside of prison, that they are doers of the word and they carry your message. And I just want to pray for you to help those who are sex slavery and sex trafficking, and as well as the violence out there, Yahweh. And I pray for you to help with our violence and the crimes out there and the deaths of different accidents or different natural causes of death, even if it's water or if it's other issues, that you put protection upon them. And I come against the spirit of suicide and the spirit of death and our love. And I pray for you to help those who are in the wrong mind and the evil mindset. I pray for you to deliver them from the ways of the enemy. And I am your daughter, Yahweh. I'm gold. I'm loved. And I'm a doer. And I am an overcomer. I am beautiful and I am great. And I am gifted. I am blessed. I am righteous. And I am a great mother who is getting greater. And I am able to do all things through our Messiah who strengthens me. I am a warrior and I am a champion. And I am successful. And I am a good person. I am a truth teller. And I am a good daughter. I am well seasoned that Yahweh is together. And I am a Yahweh's vessel. I'm bought and purchased by the blood of the Lamb, and I am a walking, living testimony. I'm a receiver for all Yahweh has for me, and I am obedient. I'm putting all my trust in you, Yahweh, and I'm fruitful and joyful. And I'm thankful for the world that we're living on, and for Yahweh. Thank you for my legacy, for my Rob Resman. I'm thankful for the sunshine. Thank you for all the seasons that Yahweh makes them unique. Thank you for our Elohim and for our cherubs that we have that take place for our protection. And I'm thankful for being out of darkness. Thankful for being grounded in Yahweh. And I'm thankful for my children and for our salvation. And for our animals and for Yahweh's discernment as well as for our health. That we have health in Yahweh and He keeps us safe from all harm and all evil ways of the enemy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Marissa. Is there anybody else on the line that would like to share their praise, prayers, decrees, and declares this morning, the 33 I Ams? This is the
good morning. This is Sand. Good morning. I'm grateful today that I got up and I'm going for a little walk with the doggett, and I don't have to have him on a leash, and I don't have to worry about him running into another dog. Much more peaceful type of walking. I love it. And I'm grateful for this beautiful morning and the sunrise coming up over this mountain. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to reconnect with Veronica later today and to meet her son, Cody. And I'm grateful for this life, for the upcoming renewal of vows and getting together with the Mishpachah face-to-face again so soon after a trip to July in July. And I'm excited about just life in general. I'm grateful that I had this opportunity to work from the road and check out our new El Paso office today. And I just want to decree and declare and pray, I guess. I mean, they're kind of all in one, that I'll be anxious for nothing when it comes to the training I have to do, that I won't, obsess and get anxious over it. And I want to pray that Cody's heart is open and that he accepts the invitation from his mother today to join us for dinner. And I pray that we will have safe travels back to Phoenix tonight. If we go that far, I'm not sure, because I know that we can't get all the way there on one tank of gas. So I'm not sure if we're going to stop or how we're going to do it. But I just, trust in Yah for all things, and believe for all things. And I just want to lift up all of our businesses. You know, we're all in ministry together, and we're in business together, and I trust that Yah is, and ask that Yah continues to give us overflow and puts the right people in our path, that we continue to meet the right people and have those connections that are not only kingdom connections but business connections, and that we are going to be, we're overcomers. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we go out each day and shine our light and work and play and minister all together as one. And so I decree and declare that this day we will stand firm on his word, that we will be light in this dark world, that we will, that I will be kinder than I've ever been and gentler than I've ever been, more patient than I've ever been in every situation that comes my way, whether it be for myself or for others that I am working with and living with. And actually decree that I will be, and that I have all the fruit of the Ruach, that I might be stronger in my faith and believe and trust in him more than I ever did before, knowing that he has what's best for me. And I pray that my mind will be fixed on him, that I will take every thought captive. I won't let the enemy get a foothold or a stronghold in any way, shape, or form. And I pray for everyone on this line, that we all grow. He says when we seek him, we will find him. And he doesn't ask a lot, but the reward is so great. So I pray that when we go into our meditation today, that we will all truly seek him and allow him to speak to us. And I pray that our ears will be open to him alone and not the enemy. We won't be distracted by this world, and that we will be doers of his word. And we will stand firm on solid ground of Yeshua. And I am just very grateful today and glad to be on the line and glad to be alive and looking forward to Shabbat. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Sam. Good morning and welcome. It's good to hear you this morning. Anybody else on the line like to introduce themselves and come forward with their 33 IMs? If not, we can move into the half hour of meditation that we got going on. So speak now or forever hold your shalom. Oops. I I do not believe that's what I thought it was. It sounded like a news broadcast instead of music. So, once I get this figured out, like a Sabbath day message instead of a any kind of meditation. So and I really would like one that more than 27 minutes long, because that way I don't have to sit here and babysit the thing. Okay, this one will definitely work. Yabaruch, back in 27. Yeshua, as we come out of our 27 minutes of meditation, we just thank you for the guidance. We thank you for the instruction. We thank you for the conversation. Abba, we thank you for the one-on-one with the Creator. Abba, we just baruch you this morning and ask that you help us to hear you in everything we do, because we know that your plans are the best plans. In the name of Yeshua, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Shalayak Rock, are we going to switch it up again? You want to jump in here and take your shot this morning, and then I'll come in after?
Yes, sir. Praise be to the great Yav Shamayim.
You only had to say it once.
All right, I'm trying to bring this forth with three phones today, so I don't have my sword in paper form. I got my sword in one of the phones, and I got a few other things to stir me up in another place here, and I got this other phone that I can actually turn music on if Scribe is having any challenges. So I can put one phone up to my ear and I can talk in the other one and I can hear that I sound really good. So I don't even need to say, can you hear me now? 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 Because I know you can hear me now. So hallelujah. I'm going to ask if Marissa would get her sword out today and help me as my reader leader. She's going to help bring forth this message today, and I think it will be one that she will be able to tell us about in the future, because it will be one that would resonate to the innermost being of her soul. And I was really led as I was praying this morning to go in this direction, because I believe it's the struggle for intimacy that most of us suffer with that keeps us separated from Yah. We struggle with intimacy, to get intimate with Him, to get close with Him. We get to our knees and we don't know how to pray. We really don't. When the rubber meets the road, we get there and we stall. We're stuck. And we struggle through that process of communication. And we had touched on communication a while back, and we're definitely not done with that series. But we put forth some pretty powerful, meaty messages to get people thinking regarding that aspect of everything that is a crucial aspect in relationships. If our communication is corrupt, it's definitely going to hinder the positive, powerful, incredible, intimate relationship we could have with one another, with ourselves, as well as with Abba Yah. So we need to learn how to take that corrupt communication out and put proper communication in. So I've entitled this today, as I've used the title many times just for the simplicity's sake, because I haven't gotten too creative with it. Build your altar. Build your altar. And save yourselves, I'm adding this on, and save yourselves 7 years of agony. If you will build your altar, I believe you can save yourself from a load of agony that could come. If you don't build the altar, then the example has already been set, or should I say put forth, because we're not supposed to use set no more. It's been put forth that we should not have to go through the 7 years of punishments, or 7 years of being submitted to those that would be an authority over us that we really don't appreciate or like or want to be an authority over us. So if everyone could turn, and especially Marissa, to Judges 6. And yes, judgment is huge. And it's a subject that, you know, we have coined the Matayahu 7 violators because they really don't get what Yahushua HaMashiach was trying to share with us regarding judgments. And I don't believe man gets it very often correct in just my communication as one counsel to so many people over the years. It seems as though the judgments of Yah are so mistaken and misunderstood that Satan has them totally right where he wants them because he keeps them in a state of confusion. So therefore, they don't understand the powerful aspect of righteous judgment that can come directly from Shamayim. It can come as Malachim are interceding on our behalf, even as Yahushua HaMashiach is interceding on our behalf. These judgments can come right directly to the heart and can be very pricking. They can very much prick us, and I believe Scribe probably has gone through more of this in this year of coming into licensing and ordination and his position of kingdom authority that he's always been called to step into. It was a matter of when he would be willing to really take the Kadesh Kitve Step 7 seriously. That scripture, Step 7, is so vital. But before that, you have to do a 5. And that's the committing. That's the submitting. That's the confession. That's the putting it out there to say, yep, all right, I've been trying to hide it for a long time, but the fact that there's this big horn growing out of the center of my head, and I got this big horn, and everybody else can see it, I just can't hide it anymore. I have these issues. I have these challenges. I have these problems, and the whole world sees them, and I keep thinking that if I just stay in denial and I just keep trying to cover up my tracks, that nobody will realize how much of a goofball I've been, and they're all going to see the horn. I got to cover the horn up. And I'm sorry to tell you, it just doesn't work. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it's there. You can't hide your defects. What's gone on in the darkness, and, you know, I mean, you could try to hide them, But it shows up somewhere in your character. It shows up somewhere in your makeup of who you are, and everybody sees it. And eventually, when the exposure happens, this Judges 6 happens, where we find ourselves in a place where Yah goes ahead and says, okay, fine. I've tried protecting you and protecting you and protecting you and protecting you, but you keep wanting to submit yourselves to the wrong power. So seeing that you've wanted to submit yourself to the evil, to the deception, to the confusion, to the chaos, seeing you've wanted to let that be your God, go for it. I'm now going to punish you for 7 years, and you're going to be given over to their authority. And we see this not only happening in this Judges 6, where Yisrael is given over to the Midianites for 7 years, but we see this consistently as a pattern of Abba Yah's correction in his love for man, his love for Yisrael, his chosen people. He uses them as the example, because we are to become, right now in this day and age, we are to be Yisrael. It's not really about a country as much as it is about souls. So when we find ourselves submitted as Yisrael in the righteous format, that's because the punishment is over. Hallelujah. And now it's time. You've taken your spanking. You've been grounded for 7 years. And now, Big Daddy in the sky, Abba himself, says, all right, you're ungrounded. You're free to go out and do it right this time. Don't make the mistakes again, because I'm going to have to ground you again. I'm going to have to send you back to that room, that prison cell, again. I find my own son, my physical son, facing going to that prison for years of his life. He doesn't know how many years. The case isn't over. He's going to fight it. He's going to plead insanity. I don't believe that's a wise choice. Now, I do believe that the acts committed were insane, but is it the acts that were committed that were the only thing that were insane, or was it the fact of rejecting Abba Yah in his life when his father, me, presented Abba Yah to him and said, he's going to win no matter what. You can fight him. You can say he doesn't exist. You can say his book is just a bunch of old stories that don't have anything to do with anything today. You can throw this book in the garbage can and act like your dad was a nutcase for trying to teach it to you since you were a little boy. But at the end of the day, the warning came, and it came again, and it came again, and it came again. And he had so much, Yah, amazing, Hanan, His chesed, his loving kindness was incredible. He forgave you and forgave you and forgave you. And what did you do? You flipped him the bird. You told him, I don't need you. And you pushed him away, just like Yisrael did. They served their Baal gods. They served their pagan gods. And that's what we see all these young people like my son doing today. They got all these idols. They got all these different things. And when the punishment comes, they sit and they act like, oh, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Hey, dude, we were praying for you long before you got in trouble. We were praying for you long before you were facing a judge. And now you've been handed over to the United States legal system. And now you want to take a coward's way out and you want to play this insanity thing. Don't give me that bologna sandwich because I ain't eating it. You aren't crazy. You did a lot of crazy things. And you may have gotten possessed. I'll give you that. Hasatan Gadrael will possess so many of us. But at the end of the day, don't give me that insanity bull. The devil made me do it. No. You submitted to him, and that's why you did it. He doesn't make you do anything. He doesn't have that power. He doesn't have that control. But when you submitted yourself to him and you put alcohol in your brain, you put heroin in your brain, you black out and you do things at that point that go to the extreme cases of lawlessness, and you're going to have consequences for your sins. It's in the scripture. It's in the Torah. The instruction manual makes it very clear. This is the standard of excellence. And when you fall short of it, these are the potential punishments. And potentially, in the foreknowledge of Abiyah, Abiyah knew where I was going to fall short as a father. So therefore, through my son, partial punishment is coming back to me because I have strife in my family for the rest of my days. Because I heard it. When I looked at the punishments of David, and many people have said over the years that I have the heart of David, that I have that, I'm that man after Yah's own heart. So there were times that I fell in, just like David did, to the sins of adultery, to the sexual sins. And the details might not be exactly the same as him and Bathsheba. And even Uriah, for that matter. But I can tell you this, the punishments have an amazing, in my heart, similarity, and I deserve every bit of what I cry when I'm on my knees in the morning. When I cry, I don't cry because of self-pity. I cry because of conviction of Ruach HaKodesh for what I had done. And I'm not proud of it. And I grieved my father. I grieved my Abba so bad. I heard him. If you don't have that communication of conviction where you know that you have grieved your Abba Yah, and it doesn't hurt you, it doesn't cause a tear to come out of your eye, you don't got that intimacy yet. You don't know. You don't understand. You have not really gotten honest completely, because you should cry out to him. You should cry out. In sorrow, in sadness for what you've done. And I believe when you cry out and you ask for forgiveness, he's righteous and just to do exactly that. He will forgive. But understand this, just because he's forgiven you doesn't mean he's still not going to punish you. The punishment is what drives home the lesson learned to the deepest core of your soul. If you can remember that line, that will be very helpful. The punishment will drive home the lesson learned to the deepest core of your soul. Of course, nobody wants the punishment. Nobody wants, even most cases, to be corrected. Nobody wants to hear that they were failing or falling short or screwing up. Nobody wants that. But the reality is, we all do it. At one time or another, somewhere in our life, there's not a human being ever born that doesn't screw up. What's rare is that they get the understanding, like I have, like I'm sharing with you all, because they don't pray for understanding. They don't take 27 minutes on their knees in the morning and ask him, help me to understand this stuff. Give me clarity. Help me to see the deeper, most inner workings of the heart, of man, of myself, of my fellow man, my brothers. Why did my brother say this to me? Why did my brother say that to me? Why did my father do this to me? Why did my father do that to me? My earthly father, I have analyzed and examined in the Kadesh Kitve step, the scripture steps 8 and 9, I have looked at my relationship with my father and why my father said this, why my father said that, why my mother did this, why my mother did that. Why did I respond back with F you instead of yes, sir? I've looked at all of it. Over and over and over, sometimes like a nightmare, on my knees, not a good dream by all means, agonizing, crying out and dying out to the sin that was at the deepest core of my soul, this evil, rotten thing that needed to be circumcised from my heart. It had to go. A true teshuvah, a true time on your knees in a really sincere Kitve Kadesh 7, where you are really using that scripture step 7 to remove, replace, refresh, revitalize. It's got to be this process of the R's. You got to remove it. And you got to replace it with something better. You got to take that thing that you're cutting out of your heart. I mean, if you really want to fulfill 7, I mean, you can poke around with 7 and play around with 7 as if it's not a big deal. But it's the biggest deal ever, that if you can get that rotten thing in your heart out, and replaced it with something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, Yeshua understood. If you can get it down the way he writes it, the way he's delivered it, which is so beautiful, it's so incredible, you have made a giant leap forward in who you are as a human being. You have gotten yourself back to where you were meant to be originally when you were birthed in your mother's womb. So the fact and point is that we have got to get this. If we ever really, truly want to tear down the altars of Baal and build up the altars of Yah, tear down the altars of Baal, build up the altars of Yah. Tear down the altars of Baal and build up the altars of Yah. You have got to stop worshiping the wrong power. You've got to stop allowing the wrong power to have power over you. I always make the statement kind of a fun little thing. Who's your daddy? Because if you are a liar, and Hasatan Kadrael is the father of lies, then you're in a really awkward position. And you might say, well, I'm not a liar. I'm not a liar. I have so many people, oh, I can't believe you said I'm a liar. Hey, if you're still in denial and you're still playing games and lying to yourself, you're a liar. I'm sorry to tell you the truth. Denial is another form of lying. Getting rigorously honest, like the Alcoholics Anonymous program is pounding on, is actually the scriptural principle that we have got to get. It means there's no more denial. So it's not a blatant lie. You go to scribe and say, yeah, you don't have any hair, you're bald. Well, that would be a lie. He's got hair. He's got more hair than me. I'm not talking about the obvious, blunt, okay, you know, I said go left and I was supposed to go right, but I lied to the person because I wanted to pull a prank on them so that they would get lost. No, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about you not getting honest with you. And ultimately, in your inner man, when you are on the 27 minutes on your knees, you ain't getting honest with Yah either. So you're still lying to him, which means the father of lies is still your daddy. You have not divorced him. You have not kicked him out of your life. You have not stopped allowing him to play with you. If you're giving him the authority and you're letting him win, you're not where you need to be. It's a bad place to be, I'm telling you. Don't do it. Get out of it. Start making a very strong plea in the 27 minutes as you're building that altar up for Yah to say, I will not bow down to Hasatan, Gadrael's false gods and goddesses and all the idols and all of the flesh and all of the strongholds and all the tricks and games that he's trying to play in my head. Why? Because I would be in sin if I did that. If I stay there, I'm still in sin. You know, it's funny the people that come to Transform that act like they don't got any problems. Or they, oh, I'm not an addict, so, you know, I really don't need that. And they think it's all about addiction. And any of us that have attended and been a part of this fellowship, you know this mishpacha. this family that comes together is way, way deeper. Way, way deeper than just addiction. Oh, addiction is part of it. But it's so much deeper than that. This is about the very essence of the Creator and the created and what that relationship is supposed to look like. I'm going to continue this tomorrow. So everybody, I want you to remind me. Scribe is going to reiterate, as well as Marissa is going to reiterate what I said today. Tomorrow, they're gonna do this on the Shabbat. And when we do this Shabbat Shalom service, you're going to have a lot of time. We're going to talk about this stuff because the very relationship with Abba Yah and with yourself and with your neighbors, this whole love deal, drives to the center and the core of what the Shabbat Shalom is all about anyway. It's about the true intimacy, the true honesty that you are going to have, the transparent truth is going to come out in these actions. But I've got to move this trailer today, and we got to get out of here so we can get our day rocking. So for me to make that happen, I'm going to need to be able to say to be continued, because there's just so much that Abba wants to get through to you. And it's really about teshuva. It's about us getting the prick in the heart because we did get honest with ourselves. We got honest with Yah. We got honest with others. And we understood that turning in a different direction with your life, which is what teshuva is, you turn completely in the opposite direction of Hazatan, God, the Real, and all of the sin. And you turn towards the new altar you're building that is in Yahushua HaMashiach, the only begotten Son who is given to us for the blood of that perfect lamb to be put on an altar once and for all, to not roll our sins ahead for a day or for a year, but to roll them ahead forever. We don't need another lamb. We got the greatest lamb that could have ever been slain. And Abba Yah was willing to go through that pain, that agony of watching a son suffer and die, to take the whipping post with all those lashes of cat o' nine tails. He watched his only begotten Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, suffer unto death, to take all of that away for us. And if you can't grab a hold of this story yet, that's because you got these denial factors. You got these lying spirits that have not been crucified. They've not been executed out of your life. They need to be put away, put out of you. So let's teshuva. That's this song, Teshuva Alaya. Let's teshuva right now. Let's pray some more. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That is like meaning that you're going to start praying all day. Oh my gosh, I have a hard time with 27 minutes. How am I going to pray all day? But that's what the scripture actually directs us in the Yeshuic covenant by Shaul the Shaliach. That's one of the instructions that we're supposed to continue to pray all the time. So you're going to get so intimate. You're going to get so close with Abba that you are a complete new creation. And that old person that thinks about, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. And all your flesh is rose up. That flesh will be so crucified, it really becomes more about what's going on in your Ruach, man, than this fleshly being that exists. And you can get there if you fully turn completely around and go in the direction of Ruach HaKodesh's altar with Yeshua on it. Build that altar every day and live for that altar. He will remove and replace, revitalize, regenerate, rejuvenate. He will do it all if you turn your eyes on him in teshuva. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Rashando Korasi Mate. The Kilbaronda Karata.
Nobody is coming to this line looking for a middle of the road message from Shaliach Rock, because that's not what you're going to get. He has got a way of delivering a message that that Yahweh is really able to drive home. And I would say he ranks right up there with a lot of the big name preachers of the day, with the exclusion. With the excellence of Yah resting on him in a way that a lot of people don't, because of the message having been so alive in him. And the fact is, he experienced much of, you know, obviously he experiences where he's preached from, or he preaches from what he's experienced. So, hallelujah. I hope that made a little bit of sense. Anyways, Yami, if you could pray over the message, over my message this morning, we're going to be looking at Proverbs 17, 1 to 3. Hallelujah. Yami, are you still there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can now.
Okay, good. You want me to pray?
Yeah.
So I took a little nap. Sorry about that. But I heard you call my name. Hallelujah. I'll be somewhere listening.
Yes, but did you hear Rock?
Yeah, I did hear. I did hear the message, and it sure was an example. For it made me look, you know, at the lessons this morning, and seeing the nature that the spirit that came upon Saul, and we don't want that spirit, and how to keep out of that is to be in obedience and to be following the instruction book. Hallelujah. So, Father, this morning I want to say that I'll be somewhere listening for your name. When you call for me, I want to hear you. So let us today be listening for you to call on us, for us to do our part, and help us to look at people through your eye and be good at what we're called to do, and that is to see the need and to shine forth the solution, for you are the solution. So keep us for your name's sake. And let us not be ashamed, and let not the enemy triumph over us, and be magnified in our lives, in the name of our Messiah. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Yami. All right, let me check out the site, make sure everybody is... Okay, we look good. All right, everybody is muted. Hallelujah. All right, Proverbs 17, 1 to 3. Better is a dry piece of bread and quietness with it than a house full of sacrifices with fighting. A servant who acts prudently shall rule over a son who causes shame, and he shall have part of the inheritance among the brothers. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but Yahweh tries the heart. Now, what I saw when I first read this morning is the interpretation of a dry piece of bread and quietness with it. Whether Solomon was thinking of stale bread or just bread without any jam on it or whatever it was they would put on bread at that point in time to make it a little bit more tasty, I don't know. I'm not going to guess. But I'm going to take a dry piece of bread as a dry piece of bread. And when Yahweh says it is better for us to consume a dry piece of bread in quietness, I think we can almost read into that. It's better to dwell in a small group. It's better to dwell in his presence with less presence of others around so that we can have his quietness, so that the Ruach is easier to be perceived. Who's unmuted?
I am.
Not anymore. All right, where was I? Okay. So, again, Proverbs 17, 1. We're looking at... the possibility. We're looking at an image, possibly, of extreme poverty, of quite possibly homelessness, or at least the allusion to that, or maybe just middle-of-the-road poverty, because all a person's got is dry bread. But the quietness, the shalom of Yahweh, is there with that dry piece of bread to be a Baruch Atah to a heart that has already gone through the step 7 that Rock just spoke so eloquently about. Better is a dry piece of bread and quietness with it than a house full of sacrifices with fighting. I see it here again. The Hebrew faith, the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, went from its origins into Judaism. And we know that in Judaism, there was a lot of strife. Even in the temple, there was a lot of strife. There's a lot of sacrifices, but there was a lot of fighting with those sacrifices. Entire world history propagated sacrifices with fighting. And that was just up until the time of Yeshua. We haven't even started walking past the cross yet. I mean, if you want to talk about a bloody house full of fighting, you're walking hip deep in the blood of sacrifices and the ones who are arguing whether their sacrifice was better or not. I would have to agree. A dry piece of bread with quietness is better than a house full of sacrifices with fighting. And that fighting still goes on in the Christian church today. whether there's actual blood sacrifices going on or not. If you're willing to sacrifice, if you are so ignorant that you're willing to sacrifice another brother to fear and loathing and concern that you, that your congregation might shrink for whatever reason or another, that you're willing to cast them out, if you're willing to allow that kind of fighting within what should be the Mishpacha of Yah, then you've got issues. Then the organization you're trying to head up, that you're trying to, you know, hold authority over, is going to be rife with issues. There's always going to be struggles because you haven't understood the principle of dry bread yet. And what's that principle of dry bread? We'll get to that in a minute. Because it's not actually dry bread, it's just another reference to something similar. Verse 2, a servant who acts prudently shall rule over a son who causes shame. And he shall have part of the inheritance among the brothers. Okay, that's not too hard to wrap our heads around either. We can pick from the example of Abraham's servant Eleazar. He acted prudently. He proved himself to be wise. Okay. Now, obviously, Isaac wasn't, you know, didn't cause shame. But Ishmael may have at some point. Okay. We kind of lose track of Ishmael after a while. But I'm sure Ishmael was, you know, a tender spot for Abraham. But we're not talking about that. We're talking, you know, a servant who acts prudently shall rule over a son who causes shame. If there was a servant in the house of the father of the prodigal son, he would have had a better share of the profits or of the inheritance that was remaining, because the father of the prodigal probably still loved him, probably would have still done something for him. But at this point, at the point of that intersection, dad had probably already set something up for the servant that had served him for, you know, who knows how many years, just because it was the right thing to do. And because the servant, along with the son, showed themselves to be prudent, to be wise, be knowledgeable, to behave in the right ways for the right reasons at the right times. Again, better is a dry piece of bread and quietness with it than a house full of, can I throw in there, can I be bold enough to remove fighting and replace it with rioting? Or riotous living, or whatever. Either way, it fits. Because there are some out there that are so connected to their religion, if you will, that they incorporate a certain amount of violence, a certain amount of rioting. Now, whether it's a party or just whatever it is, they incorporate it in there, and that's just not where it's at. Yahweh wants us to look back. And Solomon encourages us to draw this all together. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. Where do we get prudent? Where do we discover prudent behavior from? Where do we discover knowledge? Where do we get knowledge from? Where is wisdom begotten? It's going to be gotten in the refiner's pot. it's not going to be comfortable. If you're expecting all the lessons in this life to be comfortable and be handed to you on a silver platter, you're barking up the wrong tree. And nobody's going to take you seriously because you're a meekie. I'll let you figure that out on your own. The house across the street from us used to raise them. They were really little itty-bitty dogs. They go yip, 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 yip. And that's how life looks at you when you refuse to do the step seven that's necessary to expose yourself to the refining pot or the furnace. But Yahweh tries the heart. Yes, Yahweh tries the heart of the servant who acts prudently. He's trying the heart of the son who causes shame, trying to encourage him not to cause shame anymore. The servant who acts prudently is going to have more of a reason to rejoice because now maybe that dry piece of bread has become something other than just a dry piece of bread. And maybe that quietness with it is being accompanied by a few more friends. Because the prudent servant surrendered himself to Yahweh. The prudent son, the wise son, surrendered himself to Yahweh and lived a life of teshuva. And in that, there's no reason to be offended or ashamed. And hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for Solomon. We thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Abba, we just pray that we continue to be open to receive it from you and not to push it away. In the name of Yeshua, hallelujah, and yamen. We are going to take a quick break, 5 or 6 minutes maybe at the most, and then we will be right back to wrap up this morning's praise, prayer, decree, and declare, and hopefully get you on your day, and we'll hear back from you tonight. Well, no, actually, we will not hear back from you tonight because we do not have RIP 2.0 on the evening of the 6th Yom. We will hear from you Sunday, the first Yom of the week. Sorry for using that unyali term. This first Yom of the week for Hebrews News at 10:37 a.m. That will be accompanied with Praise, Pray, Decree, and Declare. And then again, RIP 2.0 that evening at 9:07 Central, 10:07 Eastern, and 7:07 Mountain and Pacific as it works out. So hallelujah, we will be right back after this one.
Hurting, help is on the way.
Abba, Yah, in the name of Yeshua, as we move into our seventh bodybuilder, our Ahava offering, Yah, we just want to thank you for the fact that you are not an Elohim of misunderstanding. And I opened it up, Yah, I opened this prayer up that way because we live in an age where organized religion is divided down the middle. Is there prosperity in, is the prosperity message in the gospel? Are we supposed to be broke and almost destitute among the homeless, or is there something else going on? Abba, I think in many ways, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think we've been sold a bill of goods on that. I don't believe you would have referenced so many times the refining fire and the refining pot and all the rest of it. If your body, if your mishka, if your family was supposed to remain broke, we just have to get it ordered right. We just have to do it right. We just have to work it according to your will. And the promises are ours. And those promises can be huge because, Abba Yah, you are immense. And as Zig Ziglar once put it, I don't think our Creator made all that pretty stuff, all the diamonds, all the gold, all the silvers, all the silver, all the rubies, all that stuff. Do you really think He made it for the adversary's kids? So, as we move into this, we're looking at 2 Corinthians 5 through, let's see what it is. I'm going to take a little bit of time here. 5 through 15. It says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brothers so that they go forward to you and arrange beforehand your promised baruchatah. This to be ready that you might have it ready as a blessing and not as if it was forced on you. I think what he's saying there is not that it was forced on you to have to ask for it. Plan ahead, better time management, even within the body, even within the mishpacha. You knew for 6 months that Shaul was coming back. You start saving, start stockpiling, okay? So it's just like, here you go. You don't have to expect the man of Yah to, all the time take an offering. Have the offering ready. You should. It's there in the Word to have the offering ready. But remember this, the one sowing sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one sowing generously will also reap generously. Each one as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And Elohim is able to make all Canaan to abound towards you, that everything, always having all Yah sufficiency, self-sufficiency, you may abound to every good work. You might be capable of accomplishing every good work. Even as it has been written, He has distributed liberally. He has given to the poor. His righteousness abides forever. There again, it's going to be far easier to distribute liberally if you've got a year's worth of offerings stored up than if you're trying to do it in 3 days or a week. Which, Rock, if he's listening, and he probably is, as he's hooking up the trailers, probably nodding, because he still remembers from the churches that we've been to what it was like when evangelists came in, and almost every other word out of the man's mouth had something to do with an offering. Why? Because the congregation, the mishpacha, wasn't thoroughly enough versed in its own book to know there was nothing wrong with having an offering waiting for the man of Yah when he got there. Now he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for eating, may he supply and multiply your seed and increase the fruits of your righteousness. in everything you being enriched to all sincerity, which works out thanksgiving to Yahweh through us. Because the ministry of this service is not only making up the things lacking for the saints, but also multiplying through many thanksgivings to Yahweh. Through the proof of this charitable service, they glorifying Yahweh by your freely expressed submission to the good news of Messiah, and through your generosity, you have become partakers with them and with all men. And they offer prayer on your behalf with greater love because of the overflowing grace of Elohim, which is on you. Thanks be to Elohim for his unspeakable gift. Wow. I cannot comprehend. This minister cannot comprehend. I cannot wrap my eyes or my mind around the idea that Yahweh would put this on another minister's heart to speak to a body, but then carry a message of near poverty, which is going to restrict the ability to give into the future. I just don't see it. I can't see it. I can't comprehend Yahweh doing that. But that's just me. But again, the point of the matter is, Yahweh wants us to live a life barukachad by him. Everything we have is his. The gift of life is his to us. What we do with our life is our gift to him. But our life, as much as our life is wrapped up in what we do and what we make, if our life is that wrapped up in it, then our gift back to Yahweh should also be that which that life produced and that life itself. So if what you're hearing here in the morning and at night has been a barukatah to you at all, then I would invite you to go to give.yahweh.love and make a love gift. Donate a love gift. Make a donation, whatever amount, whether it's a widow's mite, a tithe, or a love gift, whatever the Ruach has put on your heart. Or you can mail it by check and letter to Love Inc., P.O. Box 68138, Phoenix, Arizona 85082. Or you can text 77777 to 44321. Either way, it's going to get here. Either way, we know that Abba Yah is going to pour out a barukatah upon you, not because you're so good, but because you are willing to be obedient. And you are willing to be obedient with a smile on your face. That's what Yah sees. So please, for your sake, for your own barukatah, if Yah is pressing it on you, give.yahweh.love, Love Inc., P.O. Box 68138, Phoenix, Arizona, 85082, or 77777 to 44321. Hallelujah, and thank you. Abba Yah, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you for those that are considering giving, those that are able to give, and those that are unable to give, Yah, and we just pray that you would make a way. You are our waymaker, Yah. We just pray that you would open up the windows of Shamayim and pour out a barukatah upon them until there is no room for them to contain it anymore. In the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And Yamin. All right, everybody. Well, Boker Tov, Boker Tov, Boker Tov. Hallelujah. Go out and in What was that? Who did what? All right.
Your voice through the chaos and noise.